For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Spirit versus the Flesh, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There is a warfare that goes on in the life of the believer. Once the Spirit has come alive, now there comes this striving for the mastery of me. Will I be mastered by the Spirit, or will I be mastered by the flesh? If I am mastered by the flesh, then I have the mind of the flesh. That is, my mind is constantly upon fleshly things. And the mind of the flesh is alienated from God. It cannot know God. The mind of the flesh is death. But if my life is dominated by the Spirit, then I have the mind of the Spirit, and I'm thinking of God, and I'm thinking upon spiritual things. And the result is life and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and joy and peace. The warfare going on. Am I going to yield to my flesh? Or am I going to yield to the Spirit? And this comes up every day in many situations. And I have actually the choice. In this situation, I can yield to my flesh, and I can blow off steam, and I can get in, and I can fight, and I can get into the striving and the whole issue. Or I can walk after the Spirit and say, oh, Lord, it doesn't matter. Help me, Lord, to just, you know, keep the right attitude, and I can just go and pass it by. And so another issue arises in 5 minutes. Oh, he did that 5 minutes. Oh, right, you know. And I can choose whether or not to walk in the flesh, or then again to commit it and walk after the Spirit. You see, it isn't a once and forever kind of a thing. It is once that I've reckoned myself to be crucified with Christ when I accepted him. I was crucified with Christ, but now I have to reckon it. In so many situations every day. Hey, that old nature, that old Chucky's dead. Let him alone. Don't revive him. Crucify with Christ. Reckon that to be. That's just my old flesh that's upset. That's my old prideful nature. That's the old nature that wants its way, that wants to insist on its own way and all. That's the old nature. Reckon that to be dead. That died with Christ. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to walk after the Spirit, and I'm going to please God in this. I'm going to walk in love. And so I have to reckon the old man to be dead each day, and oftentimes, many times through the day. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary. And I do not always walk after the Spirit. There are times when I lapse into the flesh. I get an attitude that is not of the Lord. I say something that is not of the Lord. But you know what happens? Immediately the Spirit speaks to me and says, that was wrong. Yeah, but I had a right to do it. And I'll argue with him for a while. You don't know how long I've been taking it, Lord. I tried. And he'll keep dealing with me until I'll finally say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness and for your love and for your grace to me. And I'm washed and I'm cleansed and I go on. You see, I don't always do the things that I would. But when I do fail, the Spirit is right there. And that's why I know I'm a child of God. You see, if I weren't a child of God, he would just let me go. He wouldn't bother correcting me. It's sort of comforting. You know, David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was the thing the shepherd used to hit the sheep on the flanks when it started getting out, you know, roaming out. All right, I'm still one of his sheep, you know. He's just whack me with a rod. Oh, I'm comforted by that. I'm still his child. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receives. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he gives to us here a listing, incomplete, to be sure, because he ends it by saying, and do such things. And so such things leaves an unending list of things of the flesh. But he lists some of the works of the flesh. These works of the flesh, of course, are related to our body drives, so many of them. Adultery, fornication, sexual impurities, wantonness, translated here, lasciviousness, idolatry, drug abuse. The Greek word is pharmakia, translated here witchcraft, because in the sorceries or in the witchcraft, they often use drugs, potions. The potions that you'd take, you know, and they'd have their drug-related experiences. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Interesting to me that heresies is here mentioned as a part of the works of the flesh. And I was challenged by that for a while, and I began to think it through, and I thought, yes, it is a work of the flesh, because usually a person gets into heresy to attract attention to himself. You know, if you come up with some heretical teaching, you get everybody excited, and everybody's listening, everybody's beginning to discuss what you're teaching. And the old flesh likes to get people excited and stirred up like that, and people to follow after me, you know. Here I've got this new twist on the Scripture. No one's ever seen this before, but oh, bless God, he's revealed it to us in these days. And you develop your own little following, which really appeals to your flesh, the works of the flesh. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. So the such like covers a lot of things. Now, I tell you, I've told you, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is indeed strong language for you who want to live after the flesh. As we go down these things here, these are the things that God will exclude from his kingdom. These things are not allowed in the kingdom of God. If you want to be a subject in God's kingdom, then you cannot do these things. You cannot be ruled and dominated by your flesh. Now, it is interesting, a list similar to this is given to us in Revelation, the 21st chapter, as it tells us those who are going to be excluded from heaven. And outside were those who were doing these things. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars. those who are outside. And so, Revelation 21:8, if you want the reference on that. And then there's another reference also in Revelation, but outside are the dogs and adulterers and so forth. This is heavy. The works of the flesh. It's a solemn warning to every one of us who would live after the flesh or would want to live after the flesh to know that you cannot do these things and inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, now walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. The law forbid these things, but the law of love also forbids them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, notice works of the flesh, works plural. So all of these things fall under the category of works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit, fruit is singular. So there is only one real fruit of the Spirit. That is love. These other words are defining what the agape love actually is. So joy is love's consciousness. You ever seen a person in love and all of the joy that they have? Peace. You remember as Paul defined love for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he uses long-suffering. Love suffereth long and is kind. This agape love is gentle. It is good. The word faith here is trusting. It has a naivety about it, in that it does trust. You know, I've been burned so many times by trusting man. But I pray, God, never make me jaundiced. I'd rather trust and be burned than not to trust. Fruit of the Spirit, this kind of love is a trusting love, not to the place of being ridiculous. Some guy comes up and says, hey man, I got a watch, genuine Omega, you know. I need money to get home. Can you give me, you know, $100 for this watch? I'm, you know, not stupid. Meekness, blessed are the meek. Temperant. Now, the word temperance is one we have a little difficulty with. We don't understand that word too much. Let's use an opposite word, intemperate. A person doesn't lose his temper. He's temperate. Now, against such, there is no law. I mean, if you're walking in love, what rules can you lay down? What can you say to a guy? You see, you don't need any laws. All of the bases are covered. They're covered by the fact that you're walking in love. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Paul had written in the earlier part, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Romans chapter 6, know ye that the old man was crucified with Christ. Therefore, reckon ye yourselves to be dead with Christ, but alive unto God through him. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and with its desires. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory. Now, these men who were coming with this teaching were really out to get notches on their belts. The kind that we're always talking about numbers. We had 10,000 souls saved last week. Look at all the notches on my belt. Men that have followed after my perverse teachings. Desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Glory, the glory of man, is indeed empty. It's vain. Don't seek after it. You'll be disappointed. It will create a lot of enemies. It will create a lot of envy and a lot of provocation. Now, brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The Bible does seem to make a distinction between sins and faults, though I think that the distinction is probably quite narrow. But James said that if there is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. And then he said, now confess your faults one to another. Now, there's really no place in the scripture where we're told to confess our sins one to another. We're to confess our sins unto God. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we can confess our faults to one another. Now, a lot of people have gotten into some real trouble over these confessional things, you know, where we're all going to confess our sins to each other. And a lot of hurt has come from that. A lot of damage has come from that. I heard of three ministers who got together and decided that they were going to purge their consciences by confessing their sins to each other. First minister said, well, he said, I have a problem with drinking. He said, don't anybody know this, but I keep a bottle at home all the time. He said, I'm just a private drinker, not a social, but I'm a private drinker, and I just have to have my bottle, and every night before I go to bed, I have a drink or two. Next minister said, well, my problem is women. I just can't seem to get free from lust, and I just really have a strong lust after women and all, and it's just really terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he started telling some of the women and all, and third minister said, well, my sin is gossip, and I just can't wait to get out of here. You got to be careful of these confession services. You don't know who might have the sin of gossip. Confess your faults one to another. I'm at fault. I was wrong. It's good to confess. It's hard. I think those are probably the three hardest words to say. I was wrong, especially if you're talking to your wife. You don't want to be wrong. Confess your faults. Be willing to confess when you are wrong. Be willing to confess when you've made a mistake. Confess your faults. I was too hasty in my judgment. I spoke when I should have been silent. I was wrong when I said that. Confess your faults to one another. Now, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, and this, I believe, does refer to this business of the heresy, because it's all in context. Someone has gone out and gotten circumcised in order that they might be righteous. He's overtaken in this fault, faulty teaching. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I think that this can go beyond this as far as the restoration of a brother. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, in a faulty relationship, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, God's desire is not to damn the sinner, but always to restore the sinner. And if I take the attitude of damning everybody that does wrong, then I'm not taking God's attitude towards man. And it's unfortunate that many people have that concept of God, that he's wanting to damn everyone who has done something wrong. Not so. God wants to restore everyone who has done something wrong. If you have sinned, it isn't God's desire to destroy you. It's God's desire to restore you. And if I am going to be a servant of God walking in love, then I must seek to help in that restoration process. Not to push you down further. Not to say, oh, well, I knew that guy was a flake anyhow, you know. But to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not to come in a haughty spirit. Not to come in a spirit of judgment and condemnation and lay down the heavy hand of the law upon the guy and say, how could you do that? How could you do that, man? But to restore him in the spirit of meekness, realizing, hey, I am capable of doing the same thing. Were it not for the grace of God and the power of God's Spirit, I could be guilty of the very same thing. And so restoring him in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He bore our burdens for us. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He's willing to bear your burden. Now we need to bear one another's burdens. And thus we fulfill the law of Christ. When one member suffers, they all suffer. And within the body, we need to have that kind of a sensitivity whereby we can minister more effectively to each other when there is a need. When a brother is in need, when a brother is hurting, that we can stand with them and encourage them and support them, and that we bear one another's burdens. That's what the Lord would have us to do. So bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he's only deceiving himself. He's not deceiving those around him. And there are so many people in this category who really think they are something when they are nothing. Have you ever met one of those persons? I have met so many. Self-deceived. Self-deluded.
The Word for Today presents Living Water, a powerful resource about the Holy Spirit. In this inspiring book, Pastor Chuck Smith paints a beautiful, intimate picture of the Holy Spirit's role in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit is here to transform you into the image of Christ, come alongside you to help you in your walk with God, empower you to be a bold witness of Jesus Christ. Pastor Chuck guides you step by step into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, making the work of the Holy Spirit come alive in your life. Order your copy of Living Water today at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Living Water. Discover the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you. And may the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love. And in his grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources. resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Galatians 5 through 6. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.